Podcast, Rock City.
What's up, everybody? Joe here from Podcast Rock City, and with me is Jody Havnot.
Hello, everybody.
And Mr. Andrew Kiss.
Bonesaw is ready.
Yeah. I like that was Randy Savage.
Yep.
Spider-Man, Peter Parker. What the hell? Okay,
Peter,
yes, that was
Piper,
good.
Pepper.
I was a big fan of Randy Savage. Anyway, thank you guys for listening to the last show. We are very excited to be here this week, all back together. Jody's crapped out internet service is now fixed, thanks to the good, smart people of his cable company, right?
Thanks to Charter, sure.
Yeah.
Had to get a new modem.
Yeah, it's always it's always something. And then they charge you for coming out, and then they charge you for the modem, and then they charge you for smiling.
Nah, man, I get on them, and I didn't pay anything. Oh, I'm like, look, dude, you know.
Yeah, that's good. Let's see. Before we get started, one of our close friends, Ken Mills, the Podfather from Podkist, his mother passed away. We want to send out our condolences to him. And tell him, you know, we love him and we hope he's going to be all right. And if there's anything he needs from any of us, we'll be there for him. Correct, sirs?
Yes, sir.
Absolutely.
Sorry, Ken. Yeah, Ken, man. If you need me, man, give me a call, dude.
Absolutely. Let's see. Kiss news for the week. Big one yesterday. Cadillac's 40th anniversary. Did you guys keep up with that at all?
Somewhat.
It was interesting to watch.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Mr. Speed played, right?
Yeah.
I haven't seen it, bizarre. But I think it would have been cool to have seen.
One of the things that caught me, that I was just like, wow, this is really crazy, was the girl that Paul Stanley took a picture with and the girl that Gene Simmons took a picture with, the guys from Mr. Speed took pictures with. So it was like Gene with that little blonde, you know?
Right.
And then Paul with the girl that he had his arms around. They took the same pose, you know? And I was like, they do know that's not them, right?
Yeah, I found that bizarre that they're celebrating their appearance of Kiss with a Kiss. Like, I understand, like, they're obviously the actual members aren't actually going to show up there, but just very bizarre just having the tribute band there instead. But it's still really cool, though.
I think they would have come.
You're not going to really get anyone cooler or just better than Mr. Speed.
Right. I think they would have come, though. I mean, it's just overseas. You know what I mean?
They had a Rockin' Grill or Rockin' Brew opening up at Cadillac, then yeah.
Yeah, that's a good one. I think they are in Australia, right? So, I mean,
right.
I think they're very proud of the Cadillac thing. I can't say that I honestly believe that they would have shown up. I mean, I think maybe just Paul and Gene might have shown
up.
Yeah,
that'd be weird if Tommy and Eric were.
And, you know, the key to the city was there, and it was signed by Tommy, and I thought that was really strange.
Yeah.
But
maybe they just don't want to, like, taint such a great memory from the past, you know?
That's possible.
You can't really beat that in your mind and, live up to it today, I wouldn't think, you know?
Yeah, but it'd be a nice homecoming. I mean, like, they'd done stuff for Cobo Hall.
True.
Like, and I know it's not at that same level as Cobo Hall, but, you know, it's something nice to do.
Sure. And if you watch, man, a lot of people showed up. The whole town basically showed up.
Mm-hmm.
And the place that they played, I guess, which was, I guess, the high school gym or whatever, was packed.
Yeah. See, that'd be the coolest part of it, is to see what it would have been like back in the day. Because it's the same gym, right?
Mm-hmm. I think so, yeah. And they also put that big, I guess it's like a granite plaque. It's huge, though, you know? And it's mm-hmm. got, I guess it looks like the paper.
Wow.
Yeah, man, I was thinking, do you think that that's already been spray painted by some kid by now?
I hope not.
It's very possible. It's very, you never know.
Kiss sucks. Yeah.
Dude, that happened to me one time. Like, my friend and I, we snuck down off of the train tracks and we did this huge thing for one of my old bands, right? 3D Monster. And it was great. It had our logo and all that. And then the next day I rode the train to go check it out. And already someone had put a big sucks across the top of it. Dude, it took us like 4 hours to paint that thing. so focused.
That's pretty Anyways. Funny. Well, Joe Ciambelli was there, and I'm hoping to get a report from him, you know, during this week. He was there at the celebration.
That's too cool.
Yeah, and it was cool because they had like a big Kiss Room banner, and they were putting it everywhere.
That's even cooler.
Yeah, I thought so too. Anyway, we'll get with him hopefully in the next week. If you guys go on Kiss Online right now, there's a good interview with Tommy. I'm not going to tell you too much about it. I will just tell you that if you listen to it, it has a few moments where you're going, oh, really? Like that, you know? So,
oh, really? Like what?
Oh, really? Like I don't know. Like, he's just a little more open, it feels like, in the interview. Also, final piece of news. Today is the anniversary of the first show Kiss ever played without makeup on the Lick It Up tour.
Yes, it is.
Yes, October 11th, 1983. Now, I've looked it up in my trusty Kiss Alive Forever book, right?
Yeah, where it was Lisbon or whatever.
Yeah. Portugal. And unfortunately, there's not a set list, but there's some really interesting things. Apparently, there's conflicting reports that say some people say he did and some people say he didn't, and that is Gene spit blood on the first show out of makeup. But
yeah, I still don't believe that.
Yeah, no. I'm not really sure if I believe that. But
I think they might have rehearsed it and then saw that it doesn't work, and then because I don't think they'd go out there the first night and be like, oh, no, this looks stupid.
Yeah. Right. Well, so, you know, but there's conflicting reports on whether or not that's true. It says that, I guess on average about 5,000 people showed up to those shows, which still is pretty awesome. I'd like to play in front of 5,000. But so the closest thing I could get to a set list, right, is the October 13th show, which is a couple days later, and I'm guessing it's not too far off, you know. But it's Creatures of the Night, Detroit Rock City, Cold Gin, Fits Like a Glove, Firehouse, Paul's guitar solo, Exciter, which would have been cool to see, War Machine, Gimme More, Vinny's solo, which is probably about an hour and a half, Gene Simmons' bass solo, which was probably about 10 minutes too long, I Love It Loud, I Still Love You, Eric's drum solo, Young and Wasted, Love Gun, Black Diamond, Lick It Up, Rock and Roll All Night. That's a good set list, I think.
Yeah, it sounds about what you would expect. You know, it sounds about right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Now, I always hear probably the same thing you guys hear, that the first, when they walked out on stage, everybody was like, what the hell is this?
Well, yeah, because wasn't it promoted with them in makeup?
Yeah, the Creatures pictures.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, man. You think people were pissed off?
I don't know. I think everyone wanted to see them so bad without makeup that maybe they were happy.
Yeah, good point. Good point.
Could be.
I don't know, though. If you're like the tire kicker who came for this big show of this big makeup band, and they're just like regular dudes wearing regular shoes and pink scarves and shit, I don't know.
I'd be pretty bummed, because like if you were promised, or if it was billed and advertised as a makeup show, then all of a sudden comes out just like, what the hell is this?
Yeah, see, that's what I'm saying. I wonder if there were people that were like, what is this crap? I wanted to see, you know.
Yeah, like what if you went to like a tribute band show and all of a sudden they come on and they're just like regular dudes, no makeup or anything. Yeah. You'd be like, what the hell, dude?
Yeah.
That's not what I paid the $5 for.
Yeah. And yeah, $5. It'd be nice if that was all it cost. Anyway, okay, so that's pretty much the news for the week. I'll try to get with my buddy, our buddy, everybody's buddy, Joe Ciambelli, about, he's going on the Kiss Cruise again, so hopefully I'll catch him before he goes. This week, main topic. It was Mr. Kiss's turn, Andrew, and you chose Tell Him.
Hot in the Shade.
Hot in the Shade. I can honestly say that I probably, since this album came out, I probably listened to it about 10 times. What about you guys?
Oh man, that was too way more than that. Way
much more than that.
Yeah, I don't know. You know, it never hit me. But you know, it's one of those things. Like today was the first time I listened to it. Well, I listened to it last week, but then today, so two times in less than a week, and I would say it's grown on me. You know, a little more.
Right.
You know. You know, what do you guys think about the album? You think that it was a good effort, or you think it was?
It's a great album. It's one of my favorite non-makeup albums, but like the main problem with it is production, and also just like there's, since there's lack of a producer, so there's really no direction in there, so it's hard to just like, it's got a lot of crap on there as well, because there wasn't a driving force saying no, this is good and this is bad. It seems like a, you know, just like a project, but then it just like, you know, versus an album, it just like it seems like it wasn't edited almost, if that sort of makes sense, like,
right,
it wasn't finalized. It feels like it was a compilation of demos.
Yeah,
which it pretty much was.
I thought it was really cool at the time, because finally they dropped the whole like Eddie Van Halen style like bullshit, you know what I mean? Like
there's like a
embraced his inner Clapton bluesy side on all the songs.
Right. His solos were definitely simplistic isn't the word I want to say.
Tasteful.
Tasteful, right, yeah.
Yeah, like
it seemed like a Kiss album. Oh, sorry.
No, go ahead, brother.
I was just going to say it's, you know, it's an album, it, like first time in a while in that at that period that it felt like an actual, you know, an honest Kiss album. You know, without chasing any demographic, like, influences seep in there, but I don't think they were really going for, all right, we need to be Bon Jovi or we need to be Whitesnake. No, we just need to be Kiss again.
Right. You know what I think had a big part to do with it, though? Is, like, what? At the time, like, Guns N' Roses and, like, Cinderella had kind of stripped away all that fucking Eddie Van Halen tapping and all that bullshit.
Right.
And we're kind of in vogue, so it was okay for Kiss to not have to do that anymore. Mm-hmm. And since they dropped that, it was more like their old style, you know what I mean? Just classic rock and roll.
Right. Mm-hmm. I always, like the beginning to Rise to It, I always think of Bad Seamstress Blues by Cinderella.
Yeah, totally. Totally.
You know, they had that. Although I and a lot of people are going to be angry, I always feel like Cinderella pulled that off better than Kiss did.
Yeah, it's kind of weird to hear Slide on anything Kiss. You know what I mean?
Right. Yeah.
It's kind of different.
And you know,
did it again with Hell or Hallelujah.
Yeah. True. Good point. Yeah.
It was just as weird then.
The videos that came out, I liked the videos. You know, I thought that they were good. I liked Rise to It, even though the beginning is screwy and Forever.
I still
saw
your nuts.
I still saw your nuts. You're nuts.
We can totally do it, Gene. You're crazy. You're crazy.
And Hide Your Heart, I liked the video. It's pretty good.
That's a cool video.
Yeah, and we talked about it. You know, Paul's playing like the Gretsch or.
Yeah,
that's pretty crazy. Totally different, you know.
I think they should have just like pared this record down, though, don't you? Like, it could have been like 12 pretty decent tunes.
Yeah, that's what. Versus, maybe that's why it's got such a bad name attached or bad feeling when, like, when you mentioned "Ha in the Shade," because there is a lot of filler on there. Some of it I do enjoy, but still filler.
Yeah, and for me, it always feels like when I listen to it, it feels like the filler comes from Gene.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah. I mean, like,
well, dude, Paul's got some too.
No, yeah. He does, but I don't know.
And Eric's song is filler to me,
dude. No, I fucking love Little Caesar.
I love Little Caesar.
We'll get into all the track by track.
All right, yeah, let's go for that. You guys ready?
Yeah. Sure.
All right, Rise to It is number one.
Don't like it, but I don't really know another track on the album that could have opened it. Like, it seems like a really great opening song, but I just don't like it at all.
I like the song.
I don't mind it, but it's not like one of my big favorites or anything.
No.
You know, I like the chorus. It's got that, you know, sexual feel to it.
It just, sounds so like a drum machine, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, a little
it
bit.
Could have been.
Doesn't really sound like Eric's doing his thing.
Like, I just, like, there's obviously stronger songs on the album, but, Like, it's just, I can't really pick one that feels like an opening song. You know what I mean? Like, yeah, this is what it feels like. But
you
just,
mean of the 15 that we have to choose from?
Yeah, I know. That's, Isn't that a bizarre concept? That,
I think Betrayed could have started the record, man. It's heavy. It's kind of deucey.
That's true, but it's still weird to, like, Gene didn't have that as big of an impact in the band now, so that'd be really weird.
True.
Like, opening up with a Gene song, but yeah, I guess so.
Well, that brings us to number two, which is Betrayed.
Fucking love this song.
I do too, man. Yeah. It's a good Gene song.
It's a good Gene song. The solo is exactly what we were describing earlier.
I love the drums. They're very... The very Lars inspired.
There's a lot of gang vocals on this album.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's inspired by Bon Jovi.
Yeah, maybe a little by Def Leppard too, right?
Oh, definitely.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I like how it's got like a kind of an anti-suicide little speech in the middle by Gene. It's kind of cool. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and that, like, I didn't expect that, you know, the first time I heard it. I was like, what's this, you know?
Yeah.
It's like, it's Gene Simmons' PSA.
Yeah. Just hold on.
Just hold on, you gotta, and send all your gift pennies to. Maybe it's just, maybe there's some subliminal messaging.
All right, so we all three of us liked that song, and that's pretty cool.
A good one.
Hide Your Heart.
Awesome.
Yeah, I mean, you can't go wrong with that one. No, and it still holds up, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm.
I think the Kiss version out of all the versions is the best.
I do too.
Ace is still my favorite version, but only because it's in E-flat, and that's the stupidest reason to think it's better. But it sounds better in that key.
I don't know, man. You know, I like Ace, but... Whenever I listen to this song, I always kind of feel like it's it's kind of like, it feels like Ace is doing this song to spite Kiss. I don't know.
Oh, he is. Because Gene said he didn't want him to do that.
Yeah, it's really
Ace just can't hold a candle to Paul's vocal, though.
No, that's that's the problem.
Paul's vocal's much better, but I still enjoy Ace's better version.
Yeah, it's heavier, I guess.
But obviously the best one's the Molly Hatchet version, right?
Who else did it? Didn't that chick?
Bonnie Tyler.
Yeah.
Oh, who's Bonnie Hunt then? Is she that actress? Sorry.
Yeah, I think Tyler. I think Bonnie Hunt's an actress.
Was she in Cheaper by the Dozen?
Yes.
Is that, oh, okay. Yeah, sorry. She's Bonnie Tyler.
Yeah, what is she? The car? The female car in Cars?
Oh, I haven't seen that movie.
Yeah, I'm a dad, so.
Oh, that's true.
Right.
Anyway.
You know, yeah. I thought that the cool thing about this song, too, is like, that was like the best thing they played the last time I saw Kiss when they were with Def Leppard, you know?
That was that special, best song there.
That was like the big pop of the show for me.
Yeah, I remember when I first started dating this girl, she was listening to that song, and she was always quoting, "When someone lies their dying love, we finally understand." And I was always like, "I'm sorry, honey, we got to fix that. You're screwing this up for me." I wish I could remember what she was saying, but it was really like, you know. One of those.
Hey, wouldn't it be super cool to go to like a convention and be able to meet Tito?
It was actually, I remember the first time I saw the video and heard the song, I looked over to my cousin and I said, "Kiss just used the word Tito in a song. I guess this is the end." You know?
Dude, I had a landlord in Tito.
Do you really?
Yeah.
I just remember going, "Tito? What is this?" You know, it was kind of like I remember I was sitting in the car and my buddy was pumping gas and I was listening to Live. Remember the band Live?
Yeah.
And I said, "Did he just say placenta? Did he say placenta in a song? Wow." Yeah. They're running out of shit to talk about.
By the light. I thought Blinded by the Light was wrapped up like a douche in the middle of the night.
What the hell?
But anywho,
anyway, okay, that was the short, you know, attention span. All right, let's move on. Prisoner of Love.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, totally.
I just wrote not a fan. That's my
weak sauce.
Yeah.
Quoting Adam.
Right. I actually have notes that say hinting at future lame ZZ Top gene.
So if they axed this, maybe Domino wouldn't have ever happened.
Right. But there are a few genisms that are cool, like can't break these chains, you know. Chains.
He does that a lot, you know, and you always.
Yeah, that's cool.
Even in one song,
I can't break these chains.
I wish I could remember which song he's like, he says, oh, yeah, in the song. And I was like, wow, that's pretty awesome.
Uh oh. Sorry.
It's okay.
Still bringing up that old nugget.
That's a classic to me.
That is. That's a good old chestnut.
All right, yeah. So we hate that song. Let's move forward. Read My Body.
I love this song, and it's the stupidest song Paul Stanley's ever written.
I agree, and I love the riff. It, though.
You guys are crazy.
I love that riff.
What, the Helter Skelter riff?
Yeah, that's what it is.
Or the Def Leppard one?
It's both the same.
Hold on. You know,
yeah.
That's Helter Skelter, but then the chorus is... Pour some sugar on me.
Ba-da. That's what it was. Son of a bitch. I've been thinking about it all day, going, what is that? It is Pour Some Sugar on Me.
And they even have the, like, hey.
Yeah, they do have the hey. Damn it.
All right,
screw it. This song sucks. No, I'm kidding.
I still love it.
I love the riff at the beginning.
Mm.
The riff is pretty, it's at, like, the first riff is like Zeppelin, but then in like the pre chorus, it's Helter Skelter. And then for the chorus, it's Pour Some Sugar on Me.
Or every Warrant song.
Or every, hey, watch it, I love Warrant.
I know, that's why I said it.
That's okay. Oh, Jeannie, we miss you. All right. So, yeah, let's move forward. Let's see. Love is a slap in the face. It reminds me of I Hate Myself for Loving You. The verse. When I listen to it, I'm always like, oh, it's like, I hate myself for loving you.
I never noticed it, but I can hear what you're talking about.
Yeah.
That's crazy. It kind of has like an old school Gene vibe in the verses, like the way he's singing, I think, but
yeah.
The chorus is like complete like paint by numbers, just, you know, cheese. It's terrible.
Yeah, you know, it's almost like, I wish they would listen to these shows when we all do them. So, you know, if they were to put another record out, they should be going, you know, all our best records come when they come out are somebody else is producing them. You know, somebody right. else is pushing us and leading us in the right.
Well,
you know,
I don't think Paul would ever want it because he wants to do it on his own just to prove that he, you know, he still can. That's what happened with Sonic Boom.
Boom, right. Boom,
boom, boom, boom, boom, boom.
Or Monster.
And
how many you got, Monster?
And how did that work out for them?
Not that well. The songs were good on Monster and a couple on Sonic Boom, but I don't think it sold too well, did it?
No.
Yeah, but no one sells records anymore. That's true.
Yeah. It's like, you know, when people are getting excited about, you know, 17,000 records sold in a week, that's like, it's like, I remember just thinking, God, you know, the right local band could pull that unsigned.
Yeah, I mean.
Still buy CDs.
Yeah.
Because I'm lame.
My old band,
I like the hard copy, though.
My old band made 5,000 and sold that out in like 3 weeks.
Yeah, see?
Wow.
See, it's doable. It's like, it's just, this will be another discussion we can have with the Decibel Geek guys about how digital music has ruined, you know, the purchasing.
Back in my day.
You know, yeah, that's why now when you go into a record store and you want to actually buy an LP, it's $35 or $40.
Yeah, I have to get all my vinyl from Germany. The shipping on that is ridiculous.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, when back in our day, man, we listened to records on the way to school, 5 miles uphill both ways.
Yes. Both, yeah, yeah, a little suspicious on that whole both ways.
Yeah.
Right.
That's
ridiculous.
Funny. All right, let's see. Song number 7, Forever. I'm singing and I shouldn't be.
Right.
This time I know it. I always get a little twinkle in my eye when I listen to this song. It's a
classic Kiss song.
Yeah, this song should have been a huge hit, don't you think?
Yeah.
And it wasn't because it was Kiss.
Yeah, if it wouldn't have been Kiss, it would have been a big hit. You know, but on MTV it was pretty big.
Yeah, I mean.
But the radio.
Radio.
Well, isn't that their biggest charting single since Beth?
Probably was at the time.
Yeah, I believe so.
Best charting, sorry, I should have
said.
That,
and who helped him write it?
Michael Bolton, although Paul says he's very minimal amount, considering he had to ask Michael Bolton wanted to do it live once it became a big hit, and he had to have someone fax him the lyric sheet.
Wow.
To the song he wrote with Paul Stanley, so I don't know.
And the video was cool and, you know, really simple, but it was good, and, you know, Gene sitting on the bar stool and shit.
Yeah. White Spectre.
Yeah, he's playing acoustic bass, right?
No, it was a Spectre.
No, it was
a
Spectre. White Spectre.
I always thought it was acoustic. But, you know, still a good song, man. It's one of those perfectly written, you know.
The solo on there.
That's what I was going to say. It's like one of my favorite Bruce solos.
Yeah.
And it's a nice acoustic. Well, he wanted to do electric originally, and then Paul said, no, let's try it acoustic.
And I remember when I saw him on the Hot in the Shade tour and they did it, he had an acoustic guitar set up.
Yeah, I saw
just like
that.
Just like Hetfield.
And he, and he went ahead and played it, you know, which was pretty
awesome. Cool.
Yeah.
That was cool. I saw that tour twice.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Yeah, I only got St. to see
Louis
it once.
And, it was different opening acts, which was kind of interesting.
Yeah, the Hot in the Shade tour, let's get into that a little bit. I have the stuff right here. Let's see.
Can we finish the album before, or do you want to do that now?
No, that's fine. That's fine.
That's my OCD. I just need to finish one thing and go on to another.
Okay, that's fine. Let's see.
That's probably a good idea.
Silver Spoon.
Love this song.
Yeah, I love this one too.
It's bizarre having, like, anytime I hear back, like, sort of background vocals. Well, not, well, there's background vocals on Kid, but you know what I mean? Like, distinct.
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
I actually wrote Love the Chorus Vocal.
Yeah, I think it's cool how he's like.
Everything much too soon.
Yeah, it's got the, like, Gimme Shelter style background vocal chicks.
I dig it though, but it's just it's bizarre when you first hear it. But
I like how he says, "What's so special about a girl like you?" He's like, "Fuck off, bitch."
Yep.
Well, I come from everybody, somebody.
Ain't fucking with no girl with no silver spoon up her ass.
This is the truth. All right, let's move forward.
I said, sweetie.
Cadillac Dreams.
Oh,
I hate this song.
I do too.
Stupid.
You know what though? It's like Gene Simmons at his most honest, though. You know, he really just wants money.
That's but the riff in it sounds like a riff I wrote when I was 14. It's just so
stock.
It's stock. You know, it's
That's
just like
stock. It's
you
stock.
Know, everybody's written that song, not necessarily that one, but you know what I'm saying, where it's just so simple. You listen to it and you go, good Lord, he didn't put any thought into this.
Surprised they didn't do it on Symphony since it has a horn section. How weird would that have been?
The crowd would have went, what song is this?
Yeah. Why are they covering
Paul would have been wishing they did The Elder if like they had that on the set list.
I'm not a big fan of that song.
Just that whole concept of what you said, just now thinking of it now, just so bizarre.
All right, next one. You ready?
Yes, I'm.
King of Hearts.
Love this song.
Yeah. To me, it's very Bon Jovi, though.
I can see that.
Like Runaway.
Reminds me of that band Vane. You remember them?
I remember Vane. Yeah.
They always had those kind of like guitar intro bits on their songs.
Who sang for that band?
I think his name is Davey Vane or
something.
Yeah,
something like that. Yeah, that's crazy. Yeah.
I like how I think the pre-chorus is like super old school Kiss sounding. I like that. Like, you know what I'm talking about? Like,
you know, every once in a while they'll go back. They'll touch that, you know, formula they had for making great music.
Yeah, the rock and roller.
Yeah, you know, and And, but they won't, you know, go, I don't know. It's, if you look at AC/DC, they have a formula. They stick to it. They don't stray away. And then they sell a million copies of every record.
True.
It's because that's what people want. They don't want AC/DC to do Blondie.
Right.
You know, they want AC/DC to be AC/DC, and that's why it works for AC/DC. And you could, you know, you always hear people go, oh, if you heard one AC/DC album, you've heard them all. And you say, but they all rock.
You know? Yeah, it's kind of like the same with the Ramones.
I think the only departure would be this, like the song itself, Razor's Edge.
Yeah, I guess you're right. I guess you're right.
But like, it's really good, and that's one of the most under. Anyway, this isn't an AC/DC podcast, but yeah.
That's okay. They get what we're saying. Let's see. Next song. Streets Giveth, right?
I like it. It's corny, but I really enjoy it.
Yeah. I love this song actually.
Yeah, it's cool, man.
I like the ride cymbal in there.
I like the acoustic guitar. It's kind of like a throwback to Got Love for Sale or something.
Mm-hmm.
It sounds good on Gene songs.
Yeah, that's a good point. I never thought about that. That's why I keep you around, because you're the brains.
I'm the brains of the organization.
And Andrew's the love gun.
I said, sweetie, that ain't no pistol in my love gun.
We're ridiculous.
Yeah, sometimes, but that's awesome.
It's all going downhill from here.
It's still fun.
Let's see. What do we got next? You Love Me to Hate You. I don't like the song.
Favorite? Oh, really?
That's my favorite like track of the album.
No, I don't like it.
I like it too, man. I think it's great. This was co-written by Desmond, right?
Mm-hmm. That's his last song he co-wrote with Desmond Child before they had that beef.
Yeah. Didn't Desmond say, like, on the Decibel Geek that he was, at the time, he was, like, the opposite guy? So it was, like, hate myself for loving you, you love me to hate you. Mm-hmm. He named off a couple other ones.
Yeah, he did say that. That's true.
I think it's kind of...
Dude
I never
looks
really
like a lady.
It. Yeah, dude looks like a... That.
Cruising for the lady. I'm glad they didn't call it that, because that's stupid.
That's crazy, the story about that, if you heard that episode.
Yeah, so if you guys out there have never listened to Decibel Geek, go now and just listen to at least the Desmond Child interview.
And all the Kiss ones, and then all the other...
And the Maiden one.
Yeah, you'll start off listening to Desmond and hear it. There's a lot of Kiss stuff in there, and then once you listen to that one, you'll be a fan of the band, of the guys. Mm-hmm. They're really awesome.
I wish he talked more about Kiss. Maybe he's tired of it because he kept steering it to like Bon Jovi or other stuff. But yeah, it's a really good interview though. And he talks about like his struggles at the beginning, like being an up and coming musician, whatnot. It's really cool.
Yeah, there's a lot of inside info in that episode about him personally, especially.
Check it out, people.
You don't like this one, though, huh, Joe?
Nah, it doesn't grab me.
That's crazy.
But I do love the next one, which is Somewhere Between Heaven and Hell.
Really?
Yeah, I really like this
song. This song puts me to sleep.
Really?
This is the Peter Gabriel gene. It's like Sledgehammer or whatever that song is.
Yeah, I like it, man.
Dude, I had a nightmare a couple of weeks ago of Peter Gabriel chasing me on a Segway singing Games Without Frontiers.
Shut the hell up. You're so funny.
Wow, Andrew.
Yeah. Oh, wow. What were you drinking?
You got a banana.
That's what I was going to say. What'd you drink?
I just had a banana before bed, and that induces nightmares, and I forgot.
Does it really? Wow.
Yep.
I did not know that. I have that problem with dairy.
Fascinating.
I'm going to eat a banana and drink a glass of milk before bed and see what happens.
And trip out.
I'll wake up, blood all over the house. It's like, what the hell?
Wake up. Jeez.
Let's see.
Stay tuned for that.
Yes.
Stay tuned for the results of that.
Next song, Little Caesar. I like
it. Killer song.
I like it.
Eric finally showcasing his pipes.
Yeah.
I don't really care for this one, man. I don't know. I know it's cool that Eric finally got to sing one, but if I was producing the record, it wouldn't have made it.
And Eric fans
bizarre they played
are...
that live, too, though, once.
Yeah.
Like, it's a great song, but just it doesn't work a lot. And it didn't, I guess, since they only played it once live.
What do you guys think about the version on the box set where it's like, Ain't It Peculiar? you know, the original lyrics
right,
from.
Yeah.
I actually like that better. I think it
really.
I think it fits better. Maybe, and also it seems like I was actually listening to them back to back today, and it's like amazing the difference between Hot in the Shade versus the box set as far as fidelity. You know what I mean? Like the box set's like way, way louder and has a lot more bass response. It's just, it's crazy.
Yeah.
But anyways, yeah, I think I prefer that version to the actual Little Caesar.
Whenever, you know, I used to meet a lot of Eric Carr fans that would be like, Little Caesar, you know, at the shows, and they would be screaming Little Caesar. And like, I'm sorry, dude, they're not going to let him sing that song.
Dude, that song makes me hungry all the time. First, it's annoying.
Little Caesar's Pizza?
Yeah.
Oh, that's right. Nice.
Every time I hear the song, pizza. I just salivate.
I'm really upset they got rid of their pretzel bites.
Oh, they did? Oh.
That's another show. Anyway, all right, last song.
Stupid song.
Boomerang.
Oh, why is this on here?
You know what, dude, the beginning
that's
is
the
like...
Japanese bonus track that the Japanese didn't want, so they gave it back.
You know, but for me, the beginning is very, like, thrash sounding.
Mm-hmm.
You know what my notes say on this one?
What?
I got 8 words for you. Throw it and hope it doesn't come back.
Yeah, you're so funny. All right, so here, let's do this. Out of 4 stars, how would you rate this album? Start with you, Mr. Kiss.
2.9
out of 5. 4. What did I say? 4. Okay.
You said 4,
yeah,
right?
So almost 3.
Actually, no, I'm giving 3 out of 4. Or actually 3.5 out of 4. It's just now that I'm, like I said, it was one of my favorite non-makeup, but just the amount of shit we had to go through to get, like, if we could just condense all the good tracks down into like a mere 11 or 12 song album, then we'd really have something going here.
Yeah. All right, what about you, Jody?
Kind of in the same vein as Andrew, but I think I might go like a 3.5, but part of that's just because the whole, like, attachment to the times, you know, like,
right.
I was pretty young then, and it was, like, I was digging the fact that Kiss kind of was looking a little bit cooler than they did on Crazy Nights, and, like, playing Les Pauls again, you know?
Gene Simmons was tucking his leather pants into his shoes.
Yeah, his, like, white tennis shoes.
High tops?
That's goofy.
Oh, my God. Okay.
But he was playing cool basses. And
yeah. Yeah,
that tour was totally awesome.
It was.
Like, the tour was
great. On the last show, we discussed the set list, and that was really when I saw them, it was really an awesome set list. Let me tell you guys, I'd give it a 3 myself.
That's respectable.
I'd give it a 3.
I think it's a lot of shit from people, but it's really better than people think it is.
Mm-hmm. Just, like, sort through all the bad songs and, like, make an ultimate playlist of it, and then you're good. It's a good album.
If you could just, like, cut 3 songs out of it and have a 12-song album, it'd be pretty decent.
And, you know, when they were on tour, you know, they were getting a decent amount of people, about 6,600 people per show.
That's
so
pretty good.
That's not too bad, I guess. And the opening bands were really popular at the time, between Danger Danger and Winger and Vixen and Slaughter especially. Probably
Master Pussycat.
Yeah, probably drew, you know, Little Caesar open for them.
Yeah.
Are you hungry?
I'm getting there.
Anyway, so, you know, that's our Hot in the Shade. Paul looked extra cool during this time, I think.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
I think they all did compared to, like, Asylum or Crazy Nights.
Yeah, thank God they went back to leather and...
I thought it was cool instead of playing, like, all these goofy, like, bomber guitars. Like, Paul's back to just a traditional Les Paul, you know?
Thank God for that.
It's pretty cool.
Yeah. Let's see. I have...
Yeah, tell us about the tour. Weren't you going to say something about it?
Oh, yeah. Basically...
The Iron Maiden-style tour.
Exactly. Right. You know, okay, so it started on March the 11th in Texas, ended in New York. They played 124 shows... Canada and U.S., and we already named the bands that opened. The only, you know, every Danger Danger, Downtown.
Didn't King Cobra open for...
Not, or is that a different tour? Yeah, not according to the list that I have.
Huh.
So that's that. And a couple more things before we move on to our favorite part of the show. I did get a text message from a buddy of mine who's going on the KISS show, on the KISS cruise, right? And yeah. Basically, you know, the deep tracks that people want to hear, right?
Mm-hmm.
So they have a list of the top deep tracks that people want to hear. And I wanted to read them to you guys to, you know, and just tell me, basically, I don't want to go into a real deep discussion about this because, you know, we're getting low on time. But what I want to know is if, as I announce the songs, as I say them, I want you guys to say yes or no that you would like to hear it live. Ready?
Ready.
Sure. 1,000,000 to 1.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
All American Man.
Absolutely.
Oh, for sure.
All for the Love of Rock and Roll.
No.
Nope.
They've done that on the cruise. All Hell's Breaking Loose.
Absolutely.
I wouldn't want to hear that live.
Yeah, actually, well,
I don't think Paul can rap it, right?
That's true. Charisma.
Yes.
Charisma would be awesome.
Crazy, Crazy Nights.
Paul.
That's not a deep track to me.
No, that's not a deep cut.
Danger.
No.
Domino.
No.
Oh, hell no.
Flaming Youth.
Yep.
Yes, sir. Why are we on the same page, Andrew?
Yes.
I don't know.
We can save time and Andrew can just answer them for me.
Well, I don't know. I think we had a couple disagreements, but all right, let's go.
Forever?
Yep. That's not a deep track. That's not a deep cut.
Yeah, me neither. God Gave Rock and Roll to You, that's not deep track to me.
No.
Going Blind, that's not. Hate?
No, that's not deep. That'd be fucking awesome.
No, nah, I wouldn't want to hear that.
I'd love to hear that. It'd be weird on a cruise.
Heaven's on Fire?
No.
But see, that's not deep to me. Hide Your Heart?
At all. Hide Your Heart, I'd like to hear again. I thought I liked that last time.
Okay, next song is I...
Oh, hell yeah.
Yeah, that would be good.
Absolutely.
I Just Wanna.
Yep.
No.
I Still Love You.
Nah.
See, this isn't deep, though. What's wrong with these people?
I don't know, man. When I think deep cuts, I think of ones that they've never played live. Yeah. Like, most of these I've played.
I Still Love You. I Was Made for Loving You. I'm a Legend Tonight. I'd totally love to hear that.
Yeah, that'd be awesome.
Right, here's another one. Is That You?
Oh, yeah, that'd be cool.
King of the Mountain?
Yeah.
Paul, I don't think he'd sing that. Ladies Room?
Yep.
Electric Ladies Room would be awesome.
Larger Than Life?
I'd go for that.
Magic Touch?
Yeah.
I'm sorry, it's a long list. We're halfway there, though, okay?
Magic Touch I've heard Paul do, and I don't think Kiss would do it as well.
Mr. Speed?
Never really liked that song.
I love that one. I'd go for it.
Naked City.
That'd be cool.
Hell yeah, it would.
Yeah, Not for the Innocent.
Yeah, it's an alright song.
Not for me.
Oh.
Nowhere to Run.
Most underrated Kiss song, and I went on record earlier saying that.
Yes.
Definitely.
What is it, Nowhere to Run?
Nowhere to Run, yeah.
I go for it.
Reason to Live. You both went,
You don't want to bring the party... of the cruise down. That's just
I love song. That song, but that's not one you want to see live.
No.
Rock and Roll Hell.
Yep.
No.
Rockin' in the USA.
No.
Yeah, no.
Room Service, they've done that. Okay, Shandy, they've done that. Strange Ways.
Yeah.
I go for that.
Sure Know Something.
Electric. Cool. Yeah, check it out, Electric.
Yeah. Sweet Pain.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I'd like to hear that.
That's a deep cut.
That's a deep cut. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Take It Off?
No. Unless they're going to bring the chicks out again.
Yeah. The strippers.
That wasn't bad. On the boat, they could probably get completely nude.
Yeah, that's true. Take Me?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Take Me Down?
No.
No.
Thrills in the Night?
Yeah.
Nah.
That sounds good. Probably without the production, that'd be weird.
I wouldn't.
Yeah, nah.
You don't need tingling on a cruise ship.
Tomorrow.
I love that song, so yeah.
Yeah, I do too. Tomorrow and Tonight.
I'd love to see that one live. You know, like an actual...
That'd be interesting.
Yeah.
Be cool.
Turn on the Night.
No, and Paul couldn't sing that high anyway.
Yeah. Unholy.
On the cruise.
No.
We Are One. No.
I'd go for that. Yeah. That'd be cool to see. The whole boat would be singing. It'd be cool.
That'd be a sail away.
Who Wants to Be Lonely?
Yeah,
and then I Paul definitely... can like just dance, start like dancing.
Hell yeah.
And just going through
the crowd. Tommy could fall off the edge of the boat into the water when he takes the solo.
That's funny. X-ray Eyes.
No.
Okay.
I don't like that one.
That's the list. One of my buddies, my buddy Bruce, he's going on the cruise. I went with him last year. He sent that to me, and I was like, thanks for the information.
So who, like, the list came from what?
This is from people voting.
Oh, okay.
Of good. What they wanted Jeez. To hear. So I'm guessing that Kiss is now going to pick through those and do, like, Unholy and shit. Okay. They're going, oh, that's a deep cut? Sure, we'll do that one. We did it on the last tour, and how about this one? It is time for Ask Andrew. Here's the problem, though. Okay, here's the problem. Our question this week came from somebody that wanted to ask Jody a question. So really, it's called Ask Jody me. And Ask Me. That's pretty funny. Okay, so the question. What the hell did I do with the question? Let's see.
But I don't know what the question is.
He's watching some kind of monster again.
That's pretty awesome.
Oh, yeah.
I think that's one of the songs.
Fuck!
So this week's question is from Pete. Hi, Pete. The question is, love the podcast, guys. Always makes me laugh. Question for Jody. Is Strange Ways done? Like that one, too. How's D-Rock? So basically he wants to know what's going on. He also says that eventually he's going to have to quit his job because he listens to so many Kiss podcasts. So what's up, Jody?
I don't know. I'm super busy, and it's like, you know, it's kind of hard to do two shows when we got this one every week, which kind of satisfies my Kiss, you know, conversation bug.
Right, right.
Andrew and I definitely have plans to get back on it. It's just, I've been super busy, man. And I'm sorry to all the fans that have been wondering what happened to Strange Ways. But we pretty much do the same thing there. You know, now we just do it here, you know?
Yeah.
That makes sense. But
I'm think a we're fan, too. So I thought it was a good question.
I mean, Andrew and I, we're still planning on doing it again, right, Andrew?
Absolutely.
It's just D-Rock's super really. Busy and, like, I don't know, man. I'm just super busy. I don't mean to let anyone down about the show or anything, but it'll come back around.
It's nice to know that people are thinking about it, though.
Yeah, I really do appreciate that. And also, I was going to say at some point in the show is, like, since I wasn't on last week and I got all these messages and all this shit, just if you really want to know what's up with me, just find me on Twitter, man. I'm not on Facebook anymore, but you can get me on Twitter. So
yeah,
if you want to keep up with me, that's the way to do it, all right?
Yeah, and I bet there's a lot of people that are really interested in talking with you.
I don't know about that, but it seems like every
since
I've been on Facebook, I got a lot of emails and shit, like, what's up, what's
and
up?
I was like, where's Jody? And I get messages every week. What happened to Jody? Where's Jody? Is he all right? He's fine.
I'm around. You can catch me every Monday here on Podcast Rock City. So
damn straight. And I always tell him to go to Twitter, so...
Right on.
Anyway, thank you guys for listening. We really appreciate it. You guys have final words. Jody?
My final words would be, man, Ken, my heart goes out to you, buddy. And if you need me, you got my phone number. Give me a call.
Absolutely. Mr. Kiss?
Ken, we love you, buddy, and we hope you're all right going through this tough time. But as Jody said, we're here for you.
Absolutely. That's my final word, too. Ken, we love you. You're always a positive force to us. He calls me and talks to me all the time about, you know, ideas for the show. And truthfully, most of us wouldn't even be around doing podcasts if it wasn't for Ken. So the Podfather. So we're going to end that show just like that. And we love a lot of podcasts, just like the Podkists. And you're going to hear all the commercials for this show and their shows in 3, 2, 1. Peace.
Peace.
Greetings from Jandel Kiss Army. Strange Ways Podcast is having a rock and roll party and you are invited. Right. Tune in and hang out with your Kiss Army bros where they celebrate and discuss the gods of thunder. Kiss. You can find the Earth versions on Podomatic, iTunes, Facebook, and Stitcher. Just Google us.
Yes.
Thanks for listening and remember to eat it like a piece of cake.
Wanted the best, you got the best. And if you want the hottest show on Monco Radio, join us in the Kiss Room. The Kiss Room is a monthly radio broadcast celebrating the hottest band in the world. Kiss! It's your place for all things Kiss and some. For broadcast dates and all information, go to thekissroom.com. The Kiss Room broadcasts live and worldwide on Monco Radio, where music and minds meet.
All right, Kiss Army. Since 2007, you've been getting Podkissed, the Kiss audio fanzine for your ears.
That's right, it's your Podkissed. Every month, the Podkissed crew, along with the Kiss Room, brings you Kiss talk like no one else, whether it be roundtables, interviews with the band past and present, analysis, and great Kiss fun.
Hi, this is Ace Frehley, and you're listening to Podkissed.
Hi, this is Bruce Kulick, and you're listening to Podkissed.
The Podkissed, the Kiss audio fanzine for your ears.
History Science Theater, the most civilized.
Yeah. Oh, f***. Oh, f***. Come on.
Respectful.
Just imagine G with like a washed up bass. Boom, 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 boom,
boom, boom. And serious.
No, wait.
Excuse me, Bob. You're going to come over and do my album.
Kiss Podcast on the web. History Science Theater. We bust balls because we can.
Hey, everybody. I'm Aaron.
And I'm Chris.
And we're from the Decibel Geek Podcast. And if you love this...
then you'll love us.
That's right. Brand new episode every single Monday. You can find us on iTunes and at decibelgeek.com. And the best thing is, it's rock and roll, and it's always free.
Hey, this is Nick, co-host of the Pod of Thunder, the only Kiss podcast that breaks down the entire Kiss song catalog one track at a time. Every week, we have a new song chosen at random, and we do our best to analyze it. We talk about Kiss-related topics and non-Kiss-related topics, all the while trying not to kill each other. If you like the sound of that, check us out on Facebook, Twitter, and especially on iTunes. Pod of Thunder!
Ladies and gentlemen, do you like metal, punk rock, hardcore, and cracking jokes about being a fan? Yes? Then check out Music the Lifeblood, the podcast that goes deep into the core of being a fan with new music from badass bands, band and genre discussions, along with in-depth interviews from some of punk, metal, and hardcore's titans. Find us on iTunes, Stitcher, Podomatic, Tumblr, and Facebook. Something old, something new, what are you listening to?
Music, the lifeblood. Baby, you know it's only you and me. And as far as I'm concerned, that's all I need. A generation behind. We're going nowhere, and that's just fine.
What's up, everybody? Joe here for Podcast Rock City. Hey, listen, I wanted to talk to you about the holidays. Now, I know Halloween's not even here yet. I get that. But we just signed up to be an affiliate with Amazon on podcastrockcity.com. If you go there and click on the Amazon link and do your shopping as usual for the holidays, Podcast Rock City will get a small percentage of everything you guys spend. So you kill two birds with one stone. On one hand, you do your Christmas shopping or holiday shopping, and what you're going to do anyway. And on the other hand, you're helping out Podcast Rock City because we get a little bit of money to help us pay for our web service and our show and our hosting and everything else. So it's really awesome. I'm going to be doing it. My girlfriend's going to be doing it. All of my friends are going to be doing it. So if you guys don't mind, go to podcastrockcity.com whenever you feel like you're going to go need to do something on Amazon. Click on the Amazon link and do your shopping. Anything KISS is on there. We know that. You're going to get your lamps. You're going to get your KISS t-shirts, your KISS plush dolls, your KISS records, KISS everything. Anyway, thank you very much. We really appreciate the fact that you guys listen every week. And we hope you have a great Halloween and then an awesome holiday season. We love you guys. Peace.